Welcome to episode 6 of Figuring Out Fanfiction. We're now a little more than halfway through season 1 of this podcast, and I've got some great things lined up for you for this episode and the next few. But before I start, I completely forgot to actually mention another thing that is not related to this podcast, but all the same, I really want to talk about. Now, as I mentioned before on this podcast, I own a small business called Lines by Lianza. I essentially write unique poetry for your space and frame it, and then I send it to you. Now, I write poetry for all kinds of topics. I could write about you and your partner. I could even just write about your singular journey. And what's really cool is that no one else has the same poem as you. I also sell other art products such as stickers and cards, and recently, I finally have opened up the business's official website. You can check it out on linesbylianza.squarespace.com. You can shop, read more about the business, and get in contact with me. It's something I'm really proud of, and I'm excited to share it with all of you, and I hope you all check it out. One day, after recording a previous episode, I decided to Google the words open quote someone wrote fanfiction about me, close quote. The search led me to YouTuber Ordinary Dreamer, also known as Nadia. She's known for making videos related to popular culture. She vlogs about movies, comics, books, anything she wants to make, she does. And her subscribers, more than 100,000 in fact, are such big fans of what she does that they decide to write fanfiction about her. And she's here today to talk about that experience with us. Nadia, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Oh my goodness.
I know I literally just introduced you, but I'm sure people want to hear about you in your own perspective. You know, who are you and what's your story?
Well, I don't fully know who I am yet, but I'll try to give a good basis on what I do know. Hi, I'm Nadia. I make YouTube videos essentially on whatever I want to make. Which is not really good at explaining what I do, but I personally started making videos because I wanted to see content that I wanted to see, and what I wanted to see I didn't see online, so I figured I might as well just do it myself, and that just happened to be content pertaining to, like you said, pop culture, fandoms, anime, so on and so forth, and from that I've been blessed to, like, have a community of people who, like, want to talk about fun things, even though we're grown adults, and It's been a journey. It's been crazy. I don't know where I'm going with it, but it's a lot of fun and I'm happy to be here.
What led you, you know, because I was looking through some of your YouTube videos and you talk a little bit about fan fiction through some of them. What led you to the world of fan fiction and what made you interested in it?
Well, I guess technically when I first found out what fan fiction was would have been back in middle school when, like, everyone finds out what fan fiction is. And I didn't fully understand what it was at the time, but even then I would read it, I consume it, and I'd write my own. And it was cringy, of course, but it was just a fun way to, like, insert yourself into a world or see the world of your characters in a different way or in a way that you've always wanted to see, but you couldn't see in, like, canon content, if I can use my words correctly. And I didn't really think much of it until after I graduated, like, high school, when, like, I just started to, like, read it again just for fun, and then it just kind of spiraled into this whole serious thing on my channel now, so.
I you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that you started in middle school. I was in a previous episode of mine, we talked about the person I was talking to. Her name's Gofran. I talked so much with her about how everyone seemed to start reading or writing fan fiction in middle school, especially people our age.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it because, well, I don't know. I'm not trying to judge your generation, but, like, I'm on that weird cutoff that's, like, not quite millennial, but not quite Gen Z. And that's when the internet was really popping for the first time. So, you know, we had, like, fanfiction.net and we had all the old school fanfics and stuff. And, like, this is when the internet was really coming into play and giving us the opportunity to, like, hey, let's read this kind of stuff. We don't know what it is, but it's kind of cool. And, like, I've thought about that too, where it's always so weird because it's always middle school that starts your origin story for this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's your origin story. And eventually, I don't know about you, but it's impacted my life ever since then. I still think deep down, fan fiction is like 30% of my personality. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. Oh, I definitely believe that. Same. Honestly.
It's like... No, sorry, continue.
No, you're fine. I mean, for me personally, it's I've read so much good fan fiction. Like one of my favorite fan fictions, and this is going to be ridiculous to say, but it's a Powerpuff Girl fan fiction.
No way.
I'm not even kidding you. It is so well written. Well, it's well written to me because I like overdramatic poetic things, and it's so ridiculously detailed. And because I've loved the Powerpuff Girls since I was five, this fan fiction that like is about them in their teenage years, and it's my favorite thing. And like, it hasn't been updated in years, as it usually goes, but it's impacted me so much because I go back and I reread it like every year, and every time I'm an emotional wreck rereading it because it's so good to me and I love it so much. It's just ridiculous how work that people put so much time into, it's just it stays with us, you know what I mean? Like it's crazy.
Yeah, I remember sometimes I would dip into fandoms that like I'm not interested in like the fan fiction that's written, but I just want to see how it's written. And one of the best ones I actually read was a Nancy Drew fanfic that was just
You're
incredibly
what?
written. Yeah, I was just it's basically set in when she's in her mid-20s and she's now a much more well-known detective, and it blew
No
my mind because
way.
she's suddenly an adult and
Oh, wait, I love that. Hold on, you gotta drop me the link for
Yeah,
that.
I'm going to go look for it. Oh, I'm gonna have to go through like pages and pages of fanfic.net. But it's worth it. It's literally worth it.
Oh my gosh, Nancy Drew. I would have never thought somebody made Nancy Drew fan fiction. That's my childhood. Hold on.
I know. There's fanfiction for everything. And
For real,
I've
though.
never found a single fandom, whether it's about real life people or a piece of fiction, that doesn't have fanfiction.
Yeah, absolutely. That 1,000%. Like, no matter how small the fandom is, there is some sort of fan work for that fandom.
Fan work, there's like fan art. I only recently realized that like fan podcasts are really gaining traction, it seems like.
Really?
Yeah, and well, you're on TikTok, so you probably have seen like fanfic TikToks.
They make fan. I mean, I've seen POV TikToks where they're like ridiculous. Where like Jungkook slams you against the wall and tells you to call a master. It's like, whoa, okay, calm down, sir. We're not trying to. We just woke up.
No, I don't know how you're into if how much you're into Harry Potter. But there is like
Oh
Harry
my
Potter.
gosh. You mean, I think, are you talking about those one edits? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, those blew my mind. I was
Those are
like,
insane.
people really put in time to like make them seem like they're part of the movies and they're actually talking to, the characters, especially Draco Malfoy. Everyone's obsessed with Draco Malfoy.
I don't understand why. I'm like, bro, literally, like, I get it. Like, he's the bad boy, but it's like, every time I watch the movies or read the book, I wanted to punch the boy in the face. But you know what? I'm gonna let Gen Z have what they have. They can just go off, sis. You do you.
I'm in the same boat as you, in that we're on the cusp of millennials and Gen Z. And so both my sisters are Gen Z. And so it blows my mind that they're so into Draco Malfoy. I mean, also for additional context, I'm the only Romani that's, for those listening, that's Ron Weasley and Hermione Granger. I'm the only Romani shipper in a family of Dromaeony shippers. I'm not even
Oh
kidding.
no. I'm
So
so sorry.
the fact I get into spats with my family over over it all the time, and and when I see both my Gen Z sisters really like Draco Malfoy, it's just like, why?
Yeah,
Why?
why? Like I get it. He's got trauma, but like he's such a brat.
Yeah, and people are like, Draco and Hermione are perfect together. And I don't mean to turn this into a like this is like a hard right. This is like a hard switch. But didn't he like call Hermione what's the equivalent of a slur in the
No, he
books?
did. He did. He actually did. He literally, if she was black, he would have called her the N-word, okay? Like, he
No.
literally called her a slur. Like, what? That's not cute. We don't shoot that.
Yeah, and at the point, like the times that he actually said it, he was already in his teens. So I don't know. I
Yeah.
feel like at that point, I get it though. He was a pure blood. He's raised that way. But also,
You're
you
well
kind of have
enough
your
to
own
know that, like,
consciousness.
right. Like, come on, sit down, son. Like, what?
If there are any Dromaeony shippers that are listening to this, I'm sorry that Nadia and I just completely pissed all over your ship for the last couple of minutes. But also, no regrets. No regrets.
None at all.
If any Dromaeony shipper wants to come on this podcast and argue with me on why Dramione is valid, please feel free. I love to argue over literally anything.
It's just an hour long of just constant bickering.
It ends up being like 2 hours or something. That's exactly how I imagine it.
Unedited footage. Oh my God.
Yeah. Sometimes I edit, you know, just little details out of when I interview people. But I feel like if it's something like that, I'm going to leave everything in. Just for raw. It'll be a reality TV show.
It'll be so entertaining. You obviously, yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, Nanda, coming back into the path we were supposed to talk about originally. no worries. I think this was fun. And I will always take an opportunity to say how much I don't like Dramione.
I understand. I understand completely.
But I'm curious now. You mentioned earlier that, well, I mentioned earlier, sorry, that there has been fan fiction written about you. Can you tell us, like, what were the events that led up to that?
Okay. This is what happened. So I don't always go when I, okay, let me start from the top. I occasionally will go on Instagram and I will do Instagram lives whenever I have free time or when I'm bored. And there was a point where I was on Instagram and I was just talking to people and we were just chatting and the concept of Tom Holland came up. And at the time I had a huge celebrity crush on Tom Holland. I still kind of do, but it's like, it's not as much because like Kim Tae-young is now in the business, but that's neither here nor there. But he came up and then I think somebody had commented in a live stream about me reading fan fiction about it, or like somehow fan fiction came up and I went onto Wattpad and I was like, I wonder if there's Tom Holland fan fiction. And then I looked and I saw a YN Tom Holland fan fiction and I thought it was the funniest thing ever. So I started to read it in my live stream. And at the time, Instagram had like a 1 hour cutoff and I had gone to the near the end of the live stream. So I had to leave and I told everyone, hey, I'm going to go. This was fun. And people were telling me, Nadia, you got to finish the fan fiction. So I just made a video about it and it did remarkably well. And it was a lot of fun to edit. It was a lot of fun to film. And I was like, why don't I just make this a series? And that's just kind of how it happened. And then that happened. And then from that point, people decided to write fan fiction about me because they thought it would be so funny if that happened, because I made a point to say, because in all my videos, anytime I record it, I always publicly apologize to the person in question that the story is about, because I don't know if they know what fan fiction is. I don't know if they understand that this is a joke, that this is lighthearted and this is not serious, because I understand that like some people, they don't know the fandom world and they don't know that this is what the fandom world is like. And so in my head, I'm thinking if Tom Holland sees this, he's going to think, oh, this is kind of creepy. I don't know what's going on. So I got to let him know, like, hey, bestie, this is just a joke. And everyone thought, hey, let's make a fanfic and embarrass Nadia on the internet for all good fun. Like, I'm pretty sure that's how that whole situation entailed, if I'm remembering correctly.
You mentioned it was multiple people that wrote this fan fiction. Am I hearing that right?
Okay, it was one person. And then I made a video about it because I thought it was the funniest thing. And also it was the highest compliment I could ever get as a creator if somebody wrote me a fan fiction. And then from that, more people wrote fan fiction about me and Tom Holland. And then other people wrote fan fiction about me, Tom Holland, and this anime character called Hawks from My Hero Academia.
No.
I'm not even kidding you. It's the funniest thing ever, but it's so wild. And I'm, to this day, I get not threats, but they're threats, but they're not really threats where people are like, I'm going to write a fanfic of you and Oikawa because I've expressed how much I can't stand Oikawa, but he's obsessed with me because everything in my life, it's always Oikawa. And it's crazy. It's ridiculous, but it's all good fun at the end of the day.
Right. For sure. I'm curious now, what was the weirdest storyline in a fanfic that was about you?
Oh my goodness. Probably the one that was most off the wall was probably the one with Fox and Tom Holland, because the timeline didn't make any sense at all. But they generally are like, it's the whole thing is absurd. But there was one time somebody had written me, I think, as a detective. An Android detective, I think. And my friend Rachel was there. And the funniest thing is Rachel's only been in like 3 videos of mine and she hasn't been on my channel in like years, but people still write her into the fanfics.
Wow.
It's insane. But there was that kind of fanfic. And of course, Tom Holland was there. He was the bad guy or something. I don't freaking know. But I
Why?
to look. I don't even know. I can pull up my Wattpad really quick because I have a library where I put the things where people write for me because I don't ever know what to say except thank you. And so I just put it there in case anyone ever wants to read the work that they make for me. And I've read all of them because I feel like that's the only thing I can like give to them is like, let me read your work because you put time and effort into this and the least I can do is read it. But
No, for sure.
yeah, I think the most ridiculous one was the one with me, Tom Holland, and Hawks because that one was just, there's no way even in a cinematic universe this makes sense. But I don't know. Half the time they're just a lot of fun. They're very creative. Not to flex, but someone had once wrote a fan fiction of me and Tom Holland, but it was set in like the early 1800s. And a
Oh.
whole historical fanfic, and it actually has like, I haven't read it in a while. I tried making a video about it, but the footage got corrupted, so I couldn't do it. But it was really well written, and it really brought into the fact that because it was set back in the day, because I'm black, there would have been some racial issues involved. And I had comments on that when I was filming and reading it, and the fact that the author brought that in, I was like, okay, sis, I see you. Look at you bringing in that education. Like, these people are so creative, and it just boggles my mind half the time because I'm just like, I don't deserve this. Why are you wasting your time on this? Go be creative somewhere else. I see you with your talent. Now go, be gone.
I like how that implies that the people who are writing fan fiction about you are more educated about how black people in particular were treated back in like the 1800s and more than some content I've actually read on the internet, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
If
No, I think in
people
particular, this one author, she is black herself, so there's that basis as well. But I try to, especially these days, I try to talk about Black Lives and Black Lives Matter, and I do acknowledge the fact that I am black, even though I am a lighter skinned black woman, so I understand that I have more privilege than compared to a darker skinned black woman. But I still make it an effort to know that like Black Lives Matter and like black is a part of my identity, being a black person. So I personally thought that that was really cool that like she touched part of that because my family, I am biracial, so my father is white, my mother is black, and she brought in that whole thing where like even though my father in the story was like not getting like prejudiced, my mother and my other siblings who were darker skinned were. So I have a very I think I have a very educated audience, and I love that. I love that. I don't even know what else to say except that.
How would you describe your audience in just in terms of how they act and who they are?
They're so much fun. Like, I'm a very not I'm a very reserved person. I'm a very closed off person. So I try not to give myself too much to people. But from what I know, I feel like the people I've interacted with on Twitter and in my comments, like I can recognize people who comment on a lot of my videos, and I've had conversations with them. They get my humor and they understand me. And in that in and of itself, I'm able to like talk to them, and like we have a basis of the same set of humor. And I feel like, I don't want to say I know these people, but I do recognize a lot of the people. And I know that like if I go on, I complain on Twitter, they'll understand where I'm coming from. And they're just a very compassionate, empathetic, creative, intelligent group of people. And I'm lucky enough to have them like following me and enjoying my content. And I don't know, I will never stop raving about them because they're all just so talented in and of itself.
And you have so many subscribers, 100,000. And it from what I'm hearing, it's so interesting to see how even though it's you have so many, it still feels like a tight-knit community.
It really does. And I don't know because I don't understand how YouTube works at all. But I think it's the few people that I do recognize that make it feel like it's home, because I know what it's like to just be someone who just gives you that view and gives you that like and that engagement and then goes on even though they enjoyed your content without saying a word. And then I also know what it's like to leave some feedback and have a conversation and making your little icon pop up. So I understand that there's some people who give the view and then leave, and other people who want to write a whole essay in the comments below. And either way, they're both valid people, and I appreciate all of them nonetheless.
Going back into how fan fiction was, written about you, how did it feel to really see so many fan fiction written about you and Tom Holland? And I know you mentioned that it was absurd, but
What were, do you have any particular feelings that really stemmed from that?
It was interesting to say the least, because it, from, okay, I can use my words. I can promise you that. I swear I can use my words. The internet is an interesting place because we only put so much of ourselves online, and I only put so much of myself online. And so the fact that people are able to take that very little perception that I give off, then they can like take as their own and what they think is me, and they write a fan fiction based off of that, I find it interesting because some things that are written in are kind of out of character for me, but the fact that some people think that I would do that, I think is, it's interesting. And it's funny because in my mind, I've written it like that's not actually me. It's fictional nods, and that's just the terminology I use because she's like the YN version of myself. She's a little bit better. She's a little bit more. And it's just more fascinating in and of itself than it would be as like awkward or uncomfortable, because like I said, I understand how fan fiction works and I understand the mindset that goes into writing fan fiction because I'm a fan in myself. So I personally don't mind it. I just think that it's very intriguing the way that people view me in a way when they write me interacting with other characters or real life people. And this is what they think I would act like, if that makes sense. Even if it's not exactly at all how I would act like in any situation.
Do you ever wonder, or would you ever think about how fan fiction would be written if it was more accurate to who you are in real life?
I would be a little concerned. Like, how do you know me that well? But I think I wouldn't mind it. I think it would be interesting. I mean, either way, I'm flattered. I don't think I deserve it, but hey, go off, sis, I guess.
What would be your reaction if you found out Tom Holland actually saw those?
I'm going to jump off a bridge. What the frick am I supposed to do? Be like, it was snow. First of all, I look terrible in those videos. Please don't watch them. They're so old. I don't know what I would do. I would first of all, I'd make a TikTok and get the clout off of that and then keep it as my own. But I think it would be the funniest thing ever. And I don't know. I would honestly, at the end of the day, like years down the line, I think, oh my gosh, that was such a funny situation. But in the moment, I would want to die.
Right. What I think is so unique about your situation in particular is that, so, you know, I've seen a lot of self-insert fan fiction, you know, the concept of YN, which to those listening means your name. So that way you can imagine yourself in the particular fan fiction. But that's people creating self-inserts for anyone. Mm-hmm. And people really wrote fan fiction about you in particular in this particular situation. Mm-hmm. What was the general reaction of your audience to all of your YouTube videos about the fan fiction, especially those who didn't write the fan fiction?
I think for the most part, they thought it was entertaining. I mean, I don't know if it's the way I edited it or the way that I filmed it, but for the most part, I remember the feedback being very good and a lot of people liked it, and the author themselves would be like, oh my gosh, thank you for reading my fan fiction. I'm glad you like it. But at the end of the day, it was just a lot of fun. And I think that's just the goal for all of my videos, unless it's a very serious topic, is to just be entertaining and distract the viewer from their life momentarily, if anything. I think that's what it was. I think that's the image I perceived off of that.
For you personally, do you think if people were to continue writing fan fiction about you, how would you react? Because I believe when fan fiction was written about you, it was about a year ago. If it were written about you now, how would you feel?
I generally say, because everyone asks me, hey, I think I have to respond to a message actually if somebody asks me if you can write another Tom Holland fic. But I don't mind it. My logic is that if this is something that's going to spark that sense of creativity in you, then I say go for it, because I'm an advocate for the arts and I'm an advocate for creativity. And I believe that everyone should at least at some point in their life try to be a little artistic and creative, because it's, for me, I found it to be very therapeutic and cathartic. And I know that like there's not a lot of opportunities for people to try and indulge that, because there's always this stigma that like the arts is not that important. And in my mind, if somebody writing a silly fan fiction of me, Tom Holland, Oikawa, and Kim Tae-young all in one setting is able to start some sort of creative journey inside of them, then I am here for it. Because if that's the one thing I can give to you is like maybe a taste for the arts and the taste for creativity and maybe to try it out and see if you like it, then I will consider my job here done. And that's generally all I care about, is like sparking something in someone, any sense of creativity whatsoever, no matter how silly it might have started out as.
Yeah, a running theme in every single interview I've done for this podcast is that fan fiction has really made moves in teaching creativity, teaching how to write, how to write creatively. And it's interesting that, you know, there's a possibility out there that people writing fan fiction about you could have sparked interest in becoming a better writer.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. And like, I think any opportunity, I think you should just go for it. And like I said, if I'm the catalyst for that, if I'm your subject, then hey, man, have at it. Go for it. I want to see you thrive. And that's all I care about at the end of the day.
Nadia, a couple more questions for you so that people listening to this can better imagine. But has fan fiction continued to impact who you are or your interests on a day-to-day basis? And do you think it'll continue to influence who you are in the future?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, my goodness. I don't have a lot of time these days, but I do read fan fiction when I can, because I do follow some really like brilliant writers, because I like the way that they write, and it helps me in my sense of writing, because a lot of like the published books we have today, like not dissing the authors, but I don't really like the writing style, and it's hard to connect with the characters. And when you find a fan fiction of a character you already love and you're able to read it in a different way, it helps me to understand different methods of writing and different ways to convey a story. And it's also a lot of fun to just read. Like, I love like getting updates like, oh, my favorite fan fiction's been reading. Oh my gosh, I gotta go read this new thing about Hawks. And it's a lot of fun, because I don't know how to explain it, but it's definitely gonna always impact me, because for one, it's a definitely good thing for my channel to make money off of and content. Just personally, it's just a way for me to like grow as an artist, because there's no new original idea. We're all just remixing the same old idea and coming up with new ones. And that in and of itself, I can gain from fan fiction in my own work and in my own fan fictions as well.
Nadia, if people want to watch your wonderful videos or just learn more about what you do and your interests, where can they find you?
Of course, you can find me at youtube.com/ordinarydreamer, or you can just Google Ordinary Dreamer. It's there. I'd hope I'd be the first option. If not, that's a little concerning. But also, you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and I'm also on TikTok. I make content as well. And if you just at me at Twitter and just send me a tweet, I generally do my best to respond to it. But those are the best places to like stay connected with me and to just like follow me and chat with me and talk about dumb internet stuff.
I just checked. You are the first result that comes up. It's your Twitter, your Instagram, and then your TikTok, and then your
and then YouTube. All right. Well, you know, at least it's there.
Yeah, you're the first four results, which I think is already accomplishment.
Hey,
enough.
I love that for me.
I know, it's already, I've learned it's really hard to actually, you know, break in and become the first few results.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I get that. It definitely is.
Well, Nadia, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you stay safe, and, you know, I hope the rest of your year
goes
well.
Thank you. You as well. It has been a tough one, but here's to 2021, I guess.
May 2021 be a lot more
not
fun
better.
Than yeah just better just better the bar
oh my
is
gosh
low.
It's so low, it's literally in the ground, we can't even see it anymore, it's gone, it's not even there.
As long as 2021 can even remotely go up the bar, I'm
Same.
Okay with this. I'm sure everyone.
I just
want
to
okay
see it
this.
It's I just would like to have a view of it.
Right, Nadia, thank you so much, and everyone listening, thank you for listening.
Peace out, y'all. It's been great to be here.
What's interesting about Nadia's situation is that it's not entirely an isolated situation. I think many of us inwardly ship ourselves with our favorite celebrities and daydream possible storylines, even if we don't actually write it on a Word document. This adoration comes wrapped in fan culture and attachment, so it's not limited to famous celebrities who perform for thousands or millions. It can apply to influencers, or personalities we simply like, because we like them and the work that they do. Do you have any questions or comments? You can always reach out to me on figuringoutfanfiction@gmail.com. Next week, Dr. Cecilia Aragon comes on to talk about the impact of fanfiction on generations of readers and writers, after studying billions of words in fanfiction and its total impact. You might want to check out who she is and Google her name. Thanks for listening in today. See you next week.